thank you for joining us today. Thank you to everybody who is logged on to the Zoom webinar and everybody else out there in Facebook land who's joining us on the Facebook Live broadcast as well. Excited to have you here. My name is Brittany Quickwarner. I am the president and CEO at the Eugene Chamber, and we are so honored to be able to provide these webinars to the community. This is part of our Committed to Community webinar series that we launched during the pandemic last year and got an enormous amount of feedback that they were helpful and a good and easy way for folks to stay informed about all the important things happening in our community. And we would not be able to do this or make it possible without the support of Oregon Community Credit Union. We're super grateful for their title sponsorship of this program and their ongoing commitment to the community and the work that all of us are doing to make this place the best it can possibly be. We have the VP of Business Services, Dan Ripplinger, here from OCCU. And Dan, just wanted to give you a second to say hi.
Yeah, hello. Thank you, Brittany. I'll just keep it brief here, but OCCU, we're super proud to sponsor the 2021 Committed to Community webinar series. We value enriching the lives of our members and our communities, and so we love conversations like these that tackle impactful issues in our community, and super happy to be here and hear you share today.
Wonderful. Well, we appreciate everything you guys do. Welcome to everybody who's logged on. A couple of folks still joining us. We are getting ready to kick off our last Committed to Community webinar of the year, talking about homelessness and updating you all on the work that has been going on over this last year from our chamber and in the community on this really important topic. So if you haven't, it looks like, yeah, so we have access to the chat. I would love if you guys can put your name and affiliation in the chat. Sometimes I think it's nice to see who's on the call, be able to relate and connect with each other, and know kind of some of the perspectives that folks bring to this conversation. So while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen to kick off the presentation. We are really glad to bring this work to you all, to the community. It has been a long year of some really deep and intense, but I think good work that we're proud to share. So thanks for those of you joining us. If you haven't yet, put your name and affiliation in the chat if you are so inclined to do so, so we can kind of get an idea. The goal for today is to just provide you an update. We spent a lot of time working on this issue of really trying to understand the homeless crisis that is facing our community. So we could bring light to some of the things that are working in this community and some of the things that are not, and we can help provide guidance and leadership and advocacy to try to improve the situation. We really believe, and it was really kind of solidified after enormous amounts of outreach this year, that the business community has not been engaged to its fullest capacity in this issue. And we think that we can bring new and innovative ideas to this challenge. And our chamber wants to provide the platform for the community to understand the issue well enough to engage and to facilitate conversations that will help us allow the business community to fill some of the gaps that are out there. In order to fully unlock our potential, we know that people need to gain a baseline understanding of the problem. And, you know, it's hard to sort of move into a space of innovation without really understanding what problem you're trying to solve. So as you can gather, this information is incredibly complex. And as much as we want to simplify it down to one or two key things, it just simply isn't accurate. Without having an understanding of sort of all that complexity, it's easy for us to throw out ideas, but a lot of those have either already been tried and they did not work, or they're not feasible for one reason or another, either legal or political viability. So we need to understand the issue well so we can actually be fully effective. And that's what we're trying to help our broader community do. However, we also need to realize that we're never gonna completely understand all of the causes. This is a really wicked, complex issue that is facing the entire community and the entire country. So we need to know enough to actually move things forward. And just trust that we'll learn more as we continue to work together. We know that to meet adaptive challenges, we have to learn by doing also. And so we have a very strong bias towards action and really wanting to see, like, what are some new sort of ways that the business community can bring some energy to this conversation. So to get us started, I want to make sure, am I in presentation mode here? There we go. We want to make sure that we all sort of have a good idea of the vision of what we're trying to accomplish here. And so it's important to make sure we're all on the same page. I hope I have the right screen up here. Our local community really has a lot of opportunity. The Chamber, our mission is to create a thriving local community where businesses can succeed as a means to an end. And that end is that individuals in the community can live happy, healthy lives. We think that the business community is critical to accomplishing that. And we want to see successful businesses that are paying living wages, that are supporting their employees, and that provide goods and services that are necessary and able to help us create this environment. We believe with this issue that a community where homelessness is rare, brief, and non-recurring is the goal that we're trying to achieve here. We know that we're never going to end homelessness altogether. There are too many economic and social indicators that cause an individual to become homeless, and we are never going to fully solve that. However, what we want to do is create a system where when someone does become homeless, we have a way to move them into a place of stability as quickly as we possibly can, and to ensure that they don't become homeless once again. So that is ultimately where I think that we can gain some traction as a community. A lot of these pictures I'm sure you guys are familiar with. Our community has a very visible crisis in front of us. As we'll talk about some of the data, the numbers of what homelessness looks like in our community haven't actually changed significantly over the last couple of years. But during the pandemic, when congregate shelters and a lot of our sheltering opportunities were significantly reduced based on social distancing rules, we saw that this challenge that we have as a community became far more visible and has really sort of woken up the rest of the community to how broad and wide this issue really is in our community. So what is the issue that we're trying to address here, and why is the Chamber kind of engaged? We heard over and over again from businesses, specifically really growing through the pandemic and at the beginning of this year, in an overwhelming amount, that there's a growing number of individuals living on the streets in unsanctioned, not intended for human habitability, in locations that really shouldn't be where we're sheltering human beings. There's growing crime across the community, specifically in unmanaged camps. And this crime is not only against businesses or neighbors, it's against homeless individuals as well. And that's a really important piece that we know the community has to address. And ultimately, I think a big issue that we really should address head on is that our community is losing hope that something can actually be done to solve this crisis. And a community that's losing hope, I think, is one that needs an attention made on it, because it can trickle out and have a lot of other impacts in our community. So what's the Chamber's role? We knew that if we were going to actually make an impact on this issue, that we needed to understand the issue as well as we possibly could. We went to our board at the beginning of this year and said, look, the number one thing that we are hearing from businesses in our community when we have conversations with them is about how homelessness is impacting their business, but is also is on the hearts and minds of business people, that this is not how they want to see people in our community living. We knew that we had a couple different options. We had to engage in some way. Our board said the Chamber needs to figure out a way to prioritize this. And we could either get loud and organize people and march down to City Hall and point our fingers at our elected officials and say, you need to fix this. Or we could get strategic and dive as deeply as we could, given the resources that we have, to understand in our community what are some of the barriers and challenges to moving this issue forward more effectively than we've been able to, and what are the ways that are working so we can bring some attention to that as well. I think there's a time and place for both of those strategies. I think that getting loud and showing the voice of the business community is a role the Chamber takes seriously and plays frequently. But on this issue, if we're really honest with ourselves 5 years down the road, I don't know that starting there is going to actually move the needle. So we needed to get strategic. And we spent months meeting with as many individuals as we possibly could, and that list is still growing. We're continuing to do outreach to find out from the folks who were on the grounds working on this issue every day, what are the challenges that you see? If you had a magic wand, what would you do differently? How would you reset the system that we have here to try and address some of the challenges that we're facing? We talked to other communities to find out what they're doing that might be different than ours. We talked to city and county officials. We talked to businesses, neighborhoods. We talked to unhoused individuals themselves to get information and perspectives from them as well. And we ended up with a whole lot of information. And when we set out down this path, we actually didn't intend to release or publish any kind of report, but we knew we had a lot of stuff that the broader community just didn't have access to or know about. And so we put together a report after that research, and that has really helped us catalyze this ability to organize and convene businesses around this. We want to communicate and educate the community about this issue, because I think it's one of the core challenges we're facing, is that people just don't know what's going on. And then we want to help find innovative solutions that we know we'll get to if we can collaborate. And then ultimately, we're an advocacy organization, so we are going to push forward and advocate for some of these changes. So the homelessness report we released in September, we realized we hadn't done a general kind of membership update on that, so we wanted to provide that information to you all today. If you have not had a chance to check out that report, I really encourage you to do so. I know I have a couple of staff on here. I'm hoping one of you guys can copy the link from our website and put that in the chat. I'm going to go over the very high level, kind of executive summary of the report, but there's a lot of information in there that I think would be helpful for you to have as a baseline understanding. So we dove into some data. We wanted to understand, what does the data look like in this community? And our county collects information that shows us on a monthly basis the number of individuals who are registered within our homeless information system in a by name list, is what we call it. In the past, our community used what's called a point in time count. It was kind of the best practice across the country, and what the Housing and Urban Development Department required for communities to do in order to have access to funding. And that point in time count would be about one time a year on an evening, usually in the winter. They would gather as many volunteers as they could and go out and figure out who in this community is homeless and try to understand that crisis in a way that we can quantify it. In the last couple of years, communities have started shifting to what's called a by name list. And this list, in theory, really helps identify individuals by name, get them into our system, and then help to strategically connect those individuals with resources. And the result is that we get a much better idea on a rolling basis of who is homeless in our community. So in August, when this report was published, the Lane County Homeless by Name list indicated that we had 3,115 individuals who were identified as homeless. Now, we have to acknowledge there's some shortcomings in this data, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But that was the number that the community has published for the month of August. Also identified on that report are the number of homeless individuals who were moved into housing, into permanent supportive housing, out of the sheltering system, and that was 42 for the month of August. And we wanted to look at the total shelter inventory, knowing that we have 3,100 individuals in our community identified as homeless. How many sheltering opportunities do we have for that? And the total inventory, including both sort of sanctioned HUD-identified shelters, as well as alternative shelters, which our community has done a lot of work to stand up alternative shelters like Conestoga Huts, like Safe Sleep Sites. We had about 851 spots in the month of August. Now that number has been growing, which is a good thing, over the last couple months. And we know that there was a big ebb and flow in that number during the pandemic, but we are getting back to pre-pandemic sheltering levels. And still, you can see the gap between the number of homeless individuals and the number of sheltering opportunities we have in this community. So even if we were able to say we had 100% use of those shelter spaces, we still have thousands of people that just don't have a shelter option. And so that's a key point that our community needs to understand. The size of the crisis really is outweighing our ability to solve it at this problem or at this point. So some of the recommendations, we, in these conversations with experts across the community, we are not trying to claim to be the experts on this issue. We're really just trying to gather information to share with the community. We heard a lot of really great ideas and places where we can make improvements as a community. We boiled it down to 8, but this is by no means the extensive list of things that we can be doing to improve our system. The first is quality data. We need to understand the issue as well as we can before we can really identify how to solve and hone in on specific tactics. Our data around individuals, like I mentioned with the homeless by name list, is improving. Our county has undergone a lot of work in the last several months to improve that homeless by name list to get it to a point where we have as good of a chance of understanding the problem as we can when it comes to actual identifying actual individuals. There's still a lot of service providers out there that might not put their information in the homeless by name list. And I think what's missing is talk about the cost of the problem and how much money we're putting into this and where that money's coming from and where it's going and the outcomes that we're achieving from that investment. So we'll talk a little bit about that. The second was a need for shared goals and a more collective impact approach towards solving this problem. We know that this issue is bigger than our county government, bigger than our city government, and we need to identify ways that the entire community can step up and help to solve this problem and serve the individuals who are living on the streets. The third is service provider capacity. We heard from a lot of our nonprofits that that they have a really difficult time sort of maintaining their staffing levels and what they need as operational funds to actually do this work and continue to move it forward. Just like a lot of businesses, we are facing a workforce shortage within these nonprofits who are doing this work, and they're doing really difficult work that they're getting nonprofit wages to do. And so the turnover is a challenge for these service providers, but the way we're funding this provides some pretty significant barriers for these nonprofits to actually achieve a strong workforce that they need to move this forward. So, number 4, emergency shelter, permanent housing. This is a space that needs a lot of attention and strategy put behind it to figure out how much of our investment needs to be in these emergency shelter opportunities to help triage and get individuals into a safe place. And then how much do we need to be putting into permanent housing? Because we know the housing crisis that our community is looking at is one of the core reasons we're in this place that we're at. Even if we found 3,500 shelter opportunities for individuals, which I think is unrealistic in a community our size, until we can get housing to move those individuals into, we're never gonna get ourselves out of having to just build more shelter. So we have to find a way to balance this, but we do have to triage some of the issues that we have with businesses, with individuals living on the streets, and find safer places for them to be. The 5th is outreach and case management, better organization of our outreach system to make sure that we're not duplicating the work that we're trying to do and expanded outreach. The county's done a lot to hire more outreach workers in the last year, but there's still an enormous need for case management, for outreach, for coordinating who's in identifying and working with homeless individuals in which areas, and how do we make sure that they can help navigate them to the correct organization that's going to help them the best with the needs that they have. Wraparound services. So once we identify individuals who are homeless and hopefully get them into a safe sheltering opportunity, we need to make sure that the services are there to wrap around them to create stability. Mental health services, substance abuse, workforce training. A lot of these areas do not have the current investment levels or the attention needed to actually serve the number of individuals that need the support. The 7th was enforcement and accountability. We have a narrative and a culture that is known outside of our community that we have heard from individuals who have come here from other places that Eugene is tolerant at some of these activities that our community, I think, internally doesn't want to tolerate anymore. So we need to figure out as a community, how do we identify what it is we're trying to do, who we're trying to help, how we're going to help them, and then enforce and provide accountability to folks who are breaking laws and who are not contributing to kind of moving us in a direction where people are housed and sheltered in safe places. This is a piece that a lot of people want to avoid, this part of the conversation, because it's difficult and it's controversial, but I think it's critical for us to move this forward. The last is rebuilding community trust. I think one of the most important things, like I mentioned earlier, is if our community is hopeless and they don't trust the system that we've put in place to solve this, we're never actually going to move the needle forward. We think improving communication, transparency, and then accountability amongst the public, the nonprofits, the business community, et cetera, is a way to rebuild community trust. So that's really what we're trying to be doing here with this effort. So we made a lot of recommendations. In each of those recommendations, which I'll touch on a little bit, we identified some specific tactics that we heard from individuals in the community could help. And some of these things are already in progress, which is wonderful. But we wanted to say, what are four things that our chamber can move forward that we can contribute to actually moving something instead of just saying, here's what everybody else should be doing. And so we pulled out four things that we felt like the business community could come together around. The first is launching a task force for business leaders to actually come together and figure out how are we as a private sector going to positively contribute to this conversation? What resources do we have? What ideas do we have? And helping to understand the issue as deeply as we could. I anticipated when we put this report out there about a dozen businesses stepping up and saying, yeah, we'd like to be on that. We had over 100 businesses reach out and say, we want to be a part of that task force. So we sort of shifted our strategy for convening that many people and how we were going to facilitate that conversation. And we've had two task force meetings to date. The number of people showing up for those is growing instead of shrinking, which is good. I think that means the momentum is still building around this. And I'll talk a little bit about what has come out of that so far. The second is to build strategic implementation tactics. So again, we don't want to just put out a plan with recommendations without actually saying, hey, here's some ways that we can actually achieve this. The third is to convene a strategic group of community stakeholders from across multiple sectors to come to the table to sort of figure out what is our shared goal in this effort that we're trying to achieve here. What can we all agree to? And then have one single plan for how we're going to move this forward that incorporates opportunities for multiple different sectors to participate. We want a plan that easily can be identified by a community member in the public as, oh, I can help out in that way. As a neighbor, I can do this to help move this strategic plan forward. As a business community, this is the piece that we're biting off. And then it's not just held by the city and county or the responsibility alone of our nonprofits, because they need all of our help. The last, is to perform a cost study or an economic impact analysis. I mentioned earlier under the data piece, there's still questions out there about how much money we're spending on this, where that money's going, and what the return of that money is going or is coming from. And so we wanna work to identify some of those answers to questions. So I talked a little bit about this launching a task force. In our efforts there, we have two meetings. Really, the intention of those first couple of meetings is to learn and share, getting people on the same page, getting them up to speed, and then to identify solutions. This is not a place where we're trying to convene people to discuss the problem ad nauseum, because that's really been happening already as a community. We are trying to move forward and identify ways to create positive change here and act on ideas. We want to help lead public communications. We feel like that's a way that the private sector can support this effort is getting the word out about what is going on in this space and then contribute to those community-wide goals. Building out those implementation tactics, I'll show some of those things to you. Really just kind of that's some of the behind-the-scenes work that we're continuing to push forward. Convene a strategic group of community stakeholders. Over the last several months, we've been doing everything we can to get in front of different groups in our community to help them understand the information that we gathered and to bring them together for a convening at the end of January. We can all sit around a table as equals and say, what are we going to do as a community to help solve this challenge? And how do we take all the various plans that we have out there and consolidate it into one that the community can actually comprehend and understand that is going to move us forward? We're not talking about starting from scratch. We're not talking about creating this whole new strategic planning process that duplicates what we've done over and over again. What we're talking about is getting a plan out there that I can take to a business leader and say, this is what we're doing. This is how we're changing this issue. This is the measurements that we're holding ourselves accountable to. And we're going to be able to check back and see how we're doing on this. And this cost study, we're also engaging with a couple economists to find out if we can have someone do some deep work into understanding, like I said, where the money is coming from, where it's going to, not for the purposes of kind of calling people out or pointing fingers and blame, but to figure out, is there areas for us to reinvest money that might get us more and better outcomes? Or is there a gap in funding that we need? And how do we reallocate to close that gap? So there's important questions that can be answered and a tool that we hope can be used by multiple sectors in various areas of our community. So I'm looking at the time here and I want to leave time for questions and answers. Each of these individual recommendations had a list of things that we felt like could be done to help achieve that recommendation. So in the report, you can dive in and see some of the things specifically under each of those things. So for instance, quality data, we think that there's an opportunity to actually improve the system that collects. That's an area of the private sector. Some technology or data professionals can partner with our public sector partners to see if there's a way that we can actually create a system that's easier for people to use and makes it more likely to put their data in. Shared goals, like I said, bringing that group together to agree upon our shared goal. Service provider capacity, talking about funding and how do we make sure that we're supporting our service providers in eliminating duplication. I think that's something that's really important with a lot of nonprofits in our community. Improving the RFP system when our county gets money and they're putting it out to the community, making it more, gearing it towards how a nonprofit can easily reply to that RFP and including outcomes that they need to report back on. Emergency shelter and permanent supportive housing, a lot going on in this space. The city's done a lot to stand up what they're calling safe sleep sites, hoping to secure 500 new sanctioned places for individuals to shelter. There's been partnership with the business community to identify locations. And we're proud to say there have been some business leaders who've stepped up to offer up their property or their sites to help help solve and accomplish this goal. Housing, a lot of really good work into going into building permanent supportive housing, but we have some policy work to do. We have, we have work to do to create an environment where it's easier for us to build housing so we can get more units built more affordably in this community. Outreach and case management. There was a new outreach coordinator hired at the county recently that is working pretty deeply on this piece. And we're excited to see kind of how they're able to coordinate outreach workers better. Wraparound services. Again, places where I think the business community can plug in. The city and county are looking at a behavioral health crisis center and opening a location here in Lane County that can really support those who are having behavioral health crises and can provide an alternative location than the emergency room or the jail for individuals who need mental health support. I think there's opportunities for workforce solutions here. The business community is really interested in figuring out, is there a day worker program or a way that we can provide jobs for individuals who are homeless and figure out a path to supporting them that way as well. Enforcement and accountability. Again, we need to understand the system that we currently have and why we have individuals who are committing crimes that are not being held accountable and figure out ways that the city and county can do some things differently to change that reality. And the last is to rebuild community trust. We're working on communication tools, a public website with a dashboard to actually track the progress on some of these things. Being more transparent and communicative with the stuff that we're doing, but also what is happening at the city and county so more people can understand that. So where do we go from here? Some activities of the business leaders task force, we're creating some working groups to start with data and communication. And we're going to keep adding those working groups as we go. We want to find quick solutions, but we want to be strategic and make sure we're not just generating activity for the sake of generating activity. So I kind of spun through those last slides pretty quickly. I see a lot of questions and information in the chat here. I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing my screen, but as we open it up to questions, I'm happy to refer back to some of those slides. So if you guys are watching on Facebook, I hope I have a staff member who's tracking that, and they can put some of those questions in the chat and the Q&A as well. I'm going to start with the Q&A. So if you have a question that you put in the chat, if you want to put it in the Q&A function, I can work there. So since I'm facilitating this myself, you'll have to bear with me as I read through these because I wasn't able to see them while I was presenting. Mary says, would it be more accurate to address this as an economic crisis rather than a homelessness crisis? Low wages, corporate tax breaks, et cetera. Acts of will and calculation by those with power have crippled this entire nation and broken people and no money for robust human social community services. Trash storefronts, broken windows are emblematic of the larger and deeply pernicious problem. I think Mary, you're right on. There are really deep economic issues that are causing some of that are core causes to individuals becoming homeless. I don't think we can break it down to just one or two things. And I think that's really the challenge that we face, is that we have to identify lots of different ways to solve these different challenges. So we are understanding and not ignorant to have to go deeper than just saying, like, we need to find a safe sleep site for someone on the street. We want to move upstream and identify ways to stop having people move into that system in general. So we're on the same page with you. I think that there's a fine balance that has to be made between triaging and serving the individuals who are currently on our streets and ultimately trying to save their lives, because they have all kinds of risks up to their lives when they're living on the streets, but then also hoping to stop that inflow from coming in the first place. Let's see here. What percentage of these homeless folks are unsheltered versus sheltered compared to those 800 beds? Good question. So in our community, we have a very large percentage of unsheltered homeless individuals. On average, about 30% of community members of communities, 30% of individuals who are homeless in communities across the country, about 30% are unsheltered. In our community, it's closer to 80%. So it's a pretty significant number. It ebbs and flows. And during the pandemic, it was much worse than that. So the unsheltered, unhomeless individuals are those who you're seeing sleeping in the parks, on the streets, along our riverbanks. And those are folks we need to find safer places for them to be. Council members need pressure from all concerned residents, not just business community. Can you include an opportunity for residents to sign up to solutions to identify to build a broad coalition? Absolutely. This, our constituency is the business community, but these business members live in our community as well. And so expanding our work, we are reaching out and talking to some of the neighborhood associations and really trying to get the word out, because you're right. This is something that we want the community to come together and acknowledge as a problem that we all need to work on together. Let's see here. Craig Patterson, why are we collectively not understanding that the CCC camps of the 1930s had major effect getting us out of the Depression? I think that history is a great place and a great spot to start looking and seeing what have we done in the past that has caused us to get to this, and what have we done in the past that have been solutions that we might want to look back at. So we can't spend all of our time looking backwards, but I'm a big believer that looking backwards to find answers to today's problems isn't the worst way to use your time. Okay, I'm seeing, I answered the ones in this chat, and I'm clicking over to the chat. Here we go. I'd be happy to, there's some really great folks on this who have answers. I think I see them popping up to some of the questions that you guys asked. What's the data on how many people per month are newly homeless? I'd like to compare this at the rate at which the community is growing. Wonderful question. So I am going to put, if someone already has it, and maybe that's what Sarai did, the county has a couple great resources. They have two different reporting channels that they have on individuals and the data about the individuals who are becoming homeless and about sheltering. And they have inflow data and outflow data. You can see individuals who are new to the system that month. And the way that this works is that someone comes into the Homeless by Name list by accessing services or connecting with someone in the community who is putting data into that system. If they are not re-triggered in that system after a couple of months, they sort of drop off, but then they can re-enter if they then go back and access services again. So you will see some inflow and outflow that is just people not accessing services anymore. And that's the gap between people who are actually being housed and people who are exiting the system, just not being in the data that we're capturing anymore, if that makes sense. So I'm hoping, yes, thank you, Sylvia. Sylvia put the links to those Tableau accounts so you can access and dive into some of that data. All right, I'm scrolling back through some of these questions. Yeah, I think it's it is not lost on us that this is a crisis that has taken decades to get us to this point, and it's going to take us time to get out of it. This is not something where we are going to have an overnight solution. And I want to reiterate that there are some groups that are making really good, but I think they can. We're never going to get ahead of the inflow into the crisis without bringing more people and more solutions to the table. Sarah says, saw the bullet about engaging political will and leadership. Where does understanding and engaging law enforcement's parameters fall into the proposal? Great question, Sarah. So out of our business leaders task force, one of the areas that they really want to look into is enforcement. And there are a lot of, I think there's a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of just lack of knowledge of the general public of our law enforcement system and how it works. The city has a specific role, the county has a specific role, the state has a specific role. And if we're trying to have our city's law enforcement system fix a problem that they aren't able to fix because of the way that system is created, then we're spending a lot of time trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. So we need to understand how those systems work together. You know, county has, our city doesn't have as many jail, doesn't have our own designated jail, but we rent jail beds from the county. But the county has jail beds that have to be used specifically for their purposes. So there's a reality that even if we had all the police officers in the world and we could catch every single person who was vandalizing or stealing something from a business, it's not necessarily gonna fix the system that's created or that we have right now. So what I'm trying to say is we're trying to do some deep dive work into that to really figure out, okay, we know what our parameters are. Now, how do we improve the system based on those parameters? So that work is being done, and our law enforcement partners at the county and city have been enthusiastic to do that work. I think they want the community to have a better understanding, and they've been relatively open to the innovation and the ideas and trying to sort of come together as a community to try to solve the law enforcement and the accountability piece of this as well. Can we build our own jail like Springfield? We could. It's, you know, the community in Springfield came together. They passed a bond to pay for that. I don't know that there's the same political will in our community to pass a bond to pay for a jail, but if you're asking if it's a possibility, it is a legal possibility that if that's what the community wanted to come together to do, it's an option for them. I think there's still a reality that putting individuals into jail who are having a mental health crisis or behavioral health crisis is not going to get them out of homelessness. So we still have to have a system in place to actually support individuals to help them remain housed and to get the services they need. However, we have individuals who are committing crimes that we need to hold accountable. So both of those things are true, and we can't have an either or solution. All right, trying to bounce back and forth between the chat and the Q&A. Super appreciate folks adding in some flavor in the chat. Will these slides be available? This presentation will be up on our website. We record all of these things and are happy to share them out. There are some great folks on here that I think in the chat you can follow up with as well. Let's see here. Lots of data, lots of resources there on data, which is wonderful. A lot of folks commit crimes just to have a roof over their head since regular housing is not accessible. Yeah, I think that the reality is that with 3,500 individuals on the streets right now, there's a lot of segmenting that needs to be done in order to truly have a diverse set of solutions for different people who are in that. There's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And understanding who our homeless individuals are and really being able to case manage the number of individuals we have in our homeless population is going to make it easier for us to provide targeted solutions to those individuals. So I think it's easy to have general kind of statements about those individuals who are living on the streets, but they're not homogenous. They're diverse, and they've got a lot of really complex, you know, crises that they're facing themselves. We have a job as a community to make sure that we're addressing as many of the different reasons people are on the streets as possible, and not ignoring one or another just because it's difficult to deal with. And I think that's something that our chamber really wants to continue to push forward is making sure that we're not ignoring one piece of the problem over another, but that we're creating solutions that are that really do move each of these different groups through. Sarai, yes, we touched on that a little bit. The county's working on building a mental health crisis center. I think this is a really, really interesting project that that we're excited to get more information about in 2022. I think Tucson, Arizona has a system, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, sorry, on the city, but has a behavioral health crisis center that they opened up relatively recently that's had really good results. And so again, looking at other communities to see what is working there and how can we adopt some of those things here. We're not alone. We do have a crisis that is proportionately larger than most communities that we see, but the issues that we're facing are happening in other places as well. So we don't have to solve this in our own bubble. We can look to other communities to see how things are working or not working there. All right, I'm seeing questions slow down. I do want to, we'll take a note of the chat. If you guys have additional comments or things that you want information on, please feel free to reach out. Like I said, we are not the experts in solving this crisis, but what we're trying to do is create a platform where we can get the word out there and we can connect you to the experts, and we can help the experts connect to the broader community to find additional resources to get this work done. Our chamber is, we are not blind to the fact that this is going to be work that we have committed to for the long term. This is not a one and done, issue a report and walk away from it for us. And I don't feel like that's how the business community feels about this issue either. I will say that anytime you wade into a controversial issue like this, I'm going to say some things, and I'm sure I did today, that you disagree with or that you wish I would have said in a different way. We are working to move forward despite the fact that we're going to mess up on some of this. And I think that having that attitude of like, we're going to keep learning and we're going to improve the way that we're talking about this, the way that we're addressing it. I think that that's the only way to move this issue forward, along with other challenging issues our community is facing. So we appreciate you guys learning along with us, and we'll continue to bring you all updates. In the new year, we are focused on getting that collective group together, identifying our shared goal, and getting the word out to the broader community about how they can contribute to this. And getting some metrics in place that we can hold each other accountable to. So if you're interested in being involved, please let me know. My email I will put in the chat, but you guys can find me on the Chamber's website as well. I just want to put a big shout out to the service providers, the city and county staff, the neighbors, the neighborhood leadership who logged onto this, who have been working on this issue and in this space for much longer than I have. They are doing really good work, and we should be supporting them as long and as we are holding each other accountable to get good things done. So thank you guys. I hope you have a lovely holiday season, and we're going to be hitting the ground running in the new year.